Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We'll be looking at verses 11 through 19. Thank you so much for bringing us to the throne of grace through the music and testimonies this morning. Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Now, Father, we confess, we struggle. We struggle to do exactly what that verse calls us to do. And yet, in your infinite wisdom, not only do you know, but with open arms, you provide a way for restitution, reconciliation, strength, courage, whatever it is that we need, whatever it is we're facing. And you walk with us. I would pray, Father, that you would help us to remember and to learn even more, because some may have been taught differently, but how you love us so much. So much you love us. You're not a God up there with a big hammer waiting for us to trip up and then slam it down. You're the Father on the hillside, looking with arms open, desiring a return, desiring for the child to come and cry and to say, "I need help." And Father, thank you that we could be a part of that as your children. So, Chris, there are some places in our journey where we can even be a greater help to those around us. And oftentimes it's in our suffering that we most look like Jesus. So I pray now that you'll help us to realize that the road back to Jesus is truly a Thanksgiving journey. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to admit to you this morning, there's some things I find it very, very hard to be thankful for. I mean, I can say the words, "thank you." I can smile when I say the words, "thank you." I can fool you to think that's exactly how I feel. But it's not always that way. And you and I might have our theology down really good, okay? We got it down. We understand the command. In everything, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. But honestly, that doesn't always make me feel any better. That's the reality. Luke's story in chapter 17 here is really, really encouraging. I'm looking forward to sharing it with you this morning. It really is a story of hope about 10 guys, not the Five Guys restaurant. This is the 10 guys. They walk through some pretty tough times. I mean, tough times they're having. Leprosy is just an awful disease. We're not going to get into all that's it about, but if you think it's bad today, leprosy, and it's bad, I mean, they have medicines and things for it. It was a whole lot worse in Jesus' day, a whole lot worse. The laws in Jesus' day made it very clear that those with leprosy had to live separate from the community of faith, from the community itself, including their own family. If that wasn't bad enough, leprosy was viewed as a judgment from God. How do you like those apples? Huh? Kicking a guy when he's down. Not only you can't bang around us anymore, but God's mad at you. I can't help but think that's how some of us feel when we're walking through the valley of the shadow. I admit it. I sometimes can go there myself. When things pile up wrong, God, why are you so angry? What did I do? May I remind all of us that not all illnesses and not all trials and not all suffering is a result of sin or something we've done wrong. I can prove that from John chapter 9. Jesus is saying, disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned that this man or his parents, that he's born blind? Do you remember his reply? He said, it's not that this man sinned or his parents. Not at all. But that the works of God might be displayed in him. That may not cure your illness that you're walking through today, but boy, can that set your spirit free, that God is not angry at you, that he is not up there beating on you, enjoying it somehow. Because frankly, the people that believe that really, that God would do that, we should all come under the hammer of God. Even the good sinners out there. Now, according to Leviticus 13 and 14, there are even other consequences for having this kind of leprosy. We're not going to read that. But the word instructs the nation that those who had such skin diseases that they faced, they were unable to go to temple for worship. Now, that's almost unthinkable. No, it is unthinkable for a Jew. That's where you meet God. That's where the community comes together. That's where we worship and get blessed and encouraged. That's where repentance takes place and reconciliation. You should never miss one temple gathering, ever. Now, in today's Christian world, that's not quite the same, is it? And I'm sorry about that. I'm not sorry or sad that we have services throughout the week. We can have services every night of the week. That doesn't bother me one bit. Praise God for that. Amen. But the temple meant something. God's people meant something. I'm sorry. I love David Jeremiah, and I watch him when I can. And I love some of the other folks, but it is not the same as being in the house of God. So, these poor guys, they couldn't return to community life. They couldn't go home. They couldn't go to temple. They're out. It's tough. And according to the law, they had to go to a priest to get an all clear, and he wasn't about to see them unless they really thought they were healed. To top it all off, are you ready? You thought it was all bad. It gets worse. These 10 lepers didn't have the power at all. They didn't have the authority to change their condition. Nothing they could do. Nothing. Now, I'm sure they tried. Maybe there were some homemade remedies that people tried back then to deal with such things. I didn't dive into that, but at the end of the day, nothing but a healing from God would work. Ever feel that way? Man, you just feel powerless to change what's going on in your own life? And all God's people said, amen. I'll say it for you. How about someone you love's life? Someone that you love, their life too. You just feel totally powerless. You wish you could help them see things clearly. You want to shake their brain. Or maybe you want to take some of their brain out and put another brain in. I don't know what it is, but you're like, why can't you see this? And they can't. And no matter how hard you try with love and sincerity, it's just not working. Or how about a nation that you see every day coming unraveled? A country that you love. And yes, we do all we can, but don't you feel at times powerless? Powerless to do anything. Well, look, I've got some great news for you today. Being a leper like that is actually a gift from God. You and I being a leper, struggling, is a gift that we can be thankful for today. Thank God I'm a leper. We're right where we need to be. I can prove that too. Mark 2, 16 and 17 says this. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with those tax collectors and sinners, those lepers?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Well, those who are well, they don't need physician, but those who are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners." I've never been so glad to be a sinner, because I know Jesus is coming to my house. The good news is, though that we're powerless, we're not hopeless. And that's because of the man from Galilee. Well, thankfulness really is a significant part of how that all changes. And that's what I want us to kind of get. We're going to get the big idea a little bit later. But look, thankfulness plays a significant role in the changes in our own life. We need to get that. I'm going to say it again. Thankfulness plays a significant role in the changes that God wants to do in our heart and life. You got that? Thankfulness plays a significant role. You can't ignore it. God desires to do a great thing in our heart. Well, let's dive into this story. Let's notice a few things about these lepers. First, the thing we see here is the lepers actually understood their problem. You say, well, duh. I know. I get it, too. I mean, if you had leprosy all over, you probably know I got a problem. When I crashed on my bike, you know, and I tried to get up, and all I heard from my ribs were the bones crushing, and when I reached up and my arm going crack, 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 I said, I got a problem. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But isn't it amazing how many people emotionally, spiritually, mentally, they can't see they got a problem? So the first thing we see here is these guys weren't blind to what was going on in their life. They were well aware of it. We oftentimes, the struggles we have and the reason we don't see is because we live in a blame culture, a blame society. It's got to be someone else's fault. If that person did it, Lord, it comes way back. It goes way back to the Garden of Eden. It's that whole mentality, Lord, it's the wife you gave me. That's why I got problems. I never say that. Well, if you're going to make any change in your life, you got to quit that. You got to stop blaming the church. The church is full of sinners. And Paul said, I'm the chief. And I got a lot of chiefs out here. Yeah. Stop blaming your past. Yes, there could be some horrible stories here. But that's not the end of your story. You could launch something new through Jesus Christ. So you need to understand your situation. That's a critical step in any healing process, no matter what it is. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. You better know what's going on. And these lepers, they really did have a clear understanding of what was happening. So that's the first thing. They had an awareness of what was going on. Are you aware? And if you're not sure, maybe you should come to a brother or sister in Christ and have that. That's why discipleship is so important in your life. I am not kidding. You really need to be involved in discipleship and discipling others all your life, not just one semester. Continually loving on people till God calls you home. And because those folks are real friends. They're able to help you and see and point out those, oh man, you got to watch this thing, or maybe have you thought of this, or the Bible says this. Everybody needs those sort of people. So the lepers were aware. Secondly, the lepers came to Jesus with humility. That's very significant. Because humility gets God's attention. Humility gets God's attention. I can prove it. I can prove it. In Luke 18, we see this principle at work where the Pharisee and the tax collector, remember they are coming together in the temple, and that Pharisee's praising God that he's not like that guy. And then that guy, all you hear him doing is this, right? That doesn't mean much to us other than maybe a Tarzan movie. But back then, it meant something else. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Who do you think walked out of that temple righteous? Scripture's pretty clear. If you don't believe that one, which you should, I don't need any more. I'm going to give you one of my favorites, because anytime I get a chance to quote David, I'll do it. Psalm 51, you don't desire a sacrifice, else will I give it. You don't desire a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are what? What are the sacrifices that God's really looking for? A broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart. Can I put it in another way? Humility. That's what he's looking for true change. We have to come to God for understanding and awareness. Well, I got a problem. I got a problem here. I need help. Maybe you need help in identifying it. But then you come with a broken spirit, because it says here, you will not reject a broken and a repentant heart, O God. You never will. The lepers came with humility and got God's attention. Now, I can prove it even more in the passage itself. See, the language, the word master here. Now, if you study New Testament Greek, there are several words that are used a lot, and they sometimes are used interchangeably. That's just the way it is. It's fine. And master's got one of those words. There's got to be six or seven different words that are translated master. This particular word is epistata. What's the big deal about that? Well, it doesn't carry the idea oftentimes used in the Gospels, where master is used to say teacher, instructor. That's often used in the Gospels in that context. This is something else. This particular word has to do with calling upon someone who's an overseer, in charge. Can I put it another way? Someone with authority and ability. So now we're talking about somebody else. And so here they come. They recognize who they are. They come with humility. They go here, and they go to the right person, because he's the one that has the authority to fix the problem. I don't know how many conversations I've had over the years with different people, teens that I've worked with when I coached and taught for years and years and all that, where, I've got this problem. I've been going to my friend, and we've been talking about it, and I'm sitting there listening and just let them talk. I said, have you ever thought of going to someone who might have some life experience to really give you good advice? I have good friends too, but I'm not sure I want to put all my eggs in a 13-year-old brain's basket. Not that they can't be helpful. Not that they can't be a good friend and pray. But these guys knew who to go to. And oftentimes people run to the wrong people. I'm not saying anything wrong with those people necessarily. We're all sinners, but you better go to the right person if you want to get help. You want to get the kind of advice. And these guys came with humility, and they did so. They're calling, Master, you're the one. Master, nothing's going to work. Jesus! Their humility actually positioned them with communication with God. Now, there's a lot in humility. There's a lot more that we don't have time to dive into, but when you come with humility towards God, you're really coming with a broken spirit, with almost a repentant heart that says, Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. I know that I'm a sinner. I don't know if my situation is related to that, but I'm humbly coming to you because you're the master of the universe. You're the creator of the world. You can do something about the situation. And that gets God's attention. That's what God's waiting for. But Psalm 66:18 tells us, but if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I don't come with humility, the Lord will not hear me. Significant. Do you have that kind of humility? The leopards also came to Jesus with sincerity. Now, I'm pretty sure these leopards didn't bow their heads or close their eyes, but their request sounds like a prayer. Really, it does. Similar to it. I promise you, I wasn't closing my eyes praying when I crashed, okay, on the bike. I had them open, and I pray that way. Now, I don't know what the neighbors think when I'm crying and angry and having my interaction with God. I always laugh about that because I would ride by somebody's house, and they would stop what they're doing and look at me like, are you talking to me? These guys, I don't know if they bowed their heads. I'm pretty sure they didn't. But the word that's translated cried out here is one that's really a word about intense passion, sincerity, focus. God, save me. You can see this in another passage where Peter is saying, Lord, can I come to you out in the sea? And he goes out and then he starts to sink. And then Peter has a very short prayer meeting, doesn't he? What does he say? Lord, save me. It's not the length of your prayer. Oh, no. It's the sincerity. It's the humility that you come with. And so that's what these guys are all doing. So they seem to be doing all the things right in their situation. We can certainly understand that. But I'll tell you what. You got to get there. You got to get there to have that kind of emotion. Several weeks ago, we had the family over. Maybe it was more than several weeks ago. We had the family over for a meal, and the grandkids came over and all that. And I was still kind of busted up, so I didn't do a whole lot. And I'm sitting inside, and they all went outside to play, except Brooke stayed back and was talking with me. Nice job, Brooke. And we could hear the voices outside. And kids playing. Isn't that a pleasant sound to hear? Laughing and sometimes screaming, sometimes fighting, sometimes arguing. That stuff always happens. So there we are, and you hear the screaming, but you don't think anything about it. But then, parents and grandparents, they got this. There's a different scream. Right, moms? Moms are probably even more in tune than dads, but dads got it too. Yeah, we heard a different scream, and Brooke and I went, okay, something happened. First thing went in my head is someone fell out of a tree and broke their arm. No, it wasn't that at all. But all of a sudden, they start piling in the house, one after another. I'm thinking, what in the world happened? So I'm trying to get over there. What's going on here? I can help, you know. Yeah, I can help, right. So I get in there, and Hannah's the first, and she says, we've just been swarmed by yellow jackets. Well, I know how that feels. But I wasn't going to go into that story with enough time. Go right into the mode, and in comes Gracelyn, and she is hurting, and man, did my heart break. I know. I can really say I know how she feels about that. That was the kind of cry that so many people need to have when they come to God. And sometimes it doesn't happen unless it hits that string, that whatever that is that gets you, sick child, broken relationship, something happens, something significant, something that just so much you're overwhelmed so much and you come. That's what these lepers are at. They are at their wits' end. They have nowhere else to go. They can't do anything about their problem. And they come, Jesus, Master, the only one can help me. The young we can't get rid of God. Help. And that gets God's attention right away. He knows. You bet these guys cried out. What's Jesus going to do? Well, let's look in verse 14. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." That's all we get. That's it. Love it, man. That's a good sermon, right? Why don't you just come over there, read that, and go home, right? Man, well, there are other sermons Jesus preached that are pages long. But anyway, go and show yourself to the priests. That's it. That's it. But did you see the buildup to that? What these guys did? The position they were in? How they came? What they said? Sincerity, humility, all these things, crying out. Not in pride and arrogance, not demanding. They're desperate. And they come to the one who can help. Okay. Good, good, good. Go, show yourself to the priest. And that was the only way they're going to get free, if the priest said yes. So he instructs them and them to go and show themselves. But it's interesting here. The scars of leprosy were still on them at the time. And I can prove that too here in the text. Because it says here, Luke writes following, what did they do? And as they went, they were cleansed. That's significant. I hope you didn't read past that all these years. They weren't healed. It said, "Whoa! Okay, I'm going to the priest." Oh, no. He commanded them what to do. They came to him. He gave them instructions. And it wasn't immediate. It was as they were on their way. The healing took place. Whew, I'd like to have been a fly on that wall, right? What would that look like? What was it like when it just started disappearing? Oh, man. So, the lepers began walking before they were cleansed. And God often calls for you and I to do the same, doesn't he? Hey, I'm hearing you. I love you. Man, and heaven's answering. Now, I don't know what the answer is, but heaven already has answered. Go on. Go here. Go and do. What will we do? Are we going to trust him in our pain and our suffering? You need to rest assured that if you come to the Father and through Jesus Christ in humility and sincerity, he hears you, even if you feel that distance between you and the man from Galilee. Well, God operates the same way today. Sometimes he might even heal us immediately. So the text would read a little different. It doesn't read that way here, but he could. Sometimes we have to just continue in our obedience on this side of heaven, looking and believing God, walking with a different spirit. Can you imagine? The spirit had to have been much different. I got a promise from Jesus. I'm going to the priest. That's significant. It's going to happen. So by faith, with your suffering, with your leprosy as a Christian, even in the sense of all the things you struggle with, whether it be physical, emotional, mental, all those things that come into our lives, you can still be obedient and go and walk. Or as it is oftentimes as well, sometimes God heals us by bringing us home. And that is a great healing, by the way. It's not an issue of healing for God. He's the one with the authority and the power. It's always an issue of faith for us. So what's within you right now that you want to cry out for help? What is it with you to God? Listen, help! God's there. He loves you. And he's willing if you come with sincerity, humility. And with that introduction, I'm ready for our sermon. The good news is that the sermon shouldn't last but a couple minutes. Here's the big idea now. Are you ready? Y'all like big ideas?
Yep.
Good. Let's finish the text. It's being verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet and giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Can we pause there for a second? Don't you love Luke? Okay, this had to really irk people that are Jews at the time that are hearing and reading this. So you're telling me the hero of the story is not a Jew, is a Samaritan? That would not have gone over very well. Those are just some inside things many of you might already know. It's not the first time that Jesus used the Samaritan to be the hero, so to speak. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Well, where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Ooh, Jesus used it too. Yo! And he said to him, "The foreigner, rise up and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Wait a second. Back the truck up. Boop, 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 boop. All right. I thought they were well as they went on their way. Well, now we're talking about something else, aren't we? So these guys, legitimately, I'm not criticizing anyone who's sick and need help. They want help. Praise God, we can help. That's good. That's not a bad thing. Nothing wrong with those 10 guys going. But their greater need was sent leprosy of the body. It was leprosy of the soul. Both are important to a human, of course, but the greater one, that's what he's trying to raise up here, was that if they understood their true need, they would come to the one with the authority and the power, the master, to do something about it. Shoo! So, one comes back and he responds appropriately, and because of that, something miraculous happens. I love what Warren Wiersbe writes on this particular passage, so I'm quoting him. Here's what he said. "The Samaritan's 9 friends were declared clean by the priest, but the Samaritan was declared saved by the Son of God." Which would you rather have? Yeah. Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, especially physical, emotional, mental, all that kind of healing is great, but it falls short of spiritual healing. It falls short of spiritual healing. We come through faith in Jesus Christ. So what's the big idea? Here it is. This is what you need to walk out with. I'll say it 3 or 4 times so you get it, all right? We need to respond to God's grace each day by living gratefully and sharing God's grace in your life freely. I'm going to say it again. We need to respond to God's grace each day by living gratefully and sharing God's grace in your life freely. What's the big thing? Living gratefully. I love the prayers. They're awesome. We offer them to the Lord. I love the songs. We should sing songs to the Lord. But at the end of the day, it does not stop there. This is our recharge center here. We got our electric car battery being plugged in here. This is where we're getting charged up. It's not just getting that, it is living that. So true thanksgiving now is both the praise with our lips through song. It is with our proclamation of God's word. It's with our prayers. But it is really about actions. You say you're saved. I'll let my works declare my faith. People say it's by faith, it's by faith. And Paul says, yeah, it is by faith. But I'll declare my faith by the works that I do. I'm going to show, I'm going to live, and I'm going to apply it. We can be that person. God's grace, listen carefully, is never meant to stop with us. It's meant to flow through us. So as it comes, in whatever situation you're in, and we heard some powerful testimonies today, and there are folks that are watching, folks that aren't here, folks that are here, that are walking through these valleys. And their assignment is to allow the grace of God in their journey to flow through them and bless others. That's thanksgiving. Would you pray with me? Father, there are many here today, all of us in some way or another, that face different challenges in our life, with different serious levels of these challenges. And we've heard some today, and we know of many. And Lord, we are so thankful that you, in your grace, openly invite us to cry out to you. You want us to cry out to you. We just need to be aware of the yellow jackets that are swarming us and stinging us. And I pray, dear Father, that you would help us once again to remember that even in the times, and some of those things have nothing to do with sin in our lives. I'm not saying that we don't struggle with sin, but sometimes it's just life or whatever it is, or sorrow because someone else's bad choices thing. We're watching people implode and it hurts and it breaks our heart. All these things that can just overwhelm us, Father, the yellow jackets that keep stinging at us. But we can cry out to you, and boy, you can just knock them right on out, according to your will. Oh, Father, help us, though, not to become embittered or discouraged to where we give up. Oh, no. I pray that we'll be emboldened and let the grace of God that brings salvation flow through us. And not just praise and pray and read and cry, but as the one guy did, he turned around and he worshiped and lived it. In Jesus' name, amen.